This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
You bitch! No idea how bad it gets.
Sally, I think I'll buy the flowers myself.
But you're not a girl, you're a guy. And why would a guy want to marry a guy?
Don't stomp your little lassies and Prada shoes on me, honey.
Don't carry on. Move around with me.
Don't fuck with me, fellas!
Oh, I feel so damn sick and dirty. I can't stand it anymore.
I wish I knew how to quit you.
Is butter a curb?
I had a hunch he might be a real romantic.
We were decoys. He used us as bait. We procured for you.
We could have had a good life together. Fucking real good life. But you ain't wanted, Ennis. So what we got now is Brokeback Mountain.
You're a wizard, Harry.
I'm a what?
A wizard. And a thumping good one, I'd wager. Once you trade up a little.
No. You've made a mistake. I mean, I can't be a wizard. I mean, I'm just Harry. Just Harry.
You are listening to Outtakes, the home of queer cinema on Joy 94.9. And if you can't already tell, tonight's program is all about queering wizards and witches.
Yes, and, you know, Hagrid there is saying that Harry's going to be turning into a gooden of a wizard. I disagree. Harry is a crap wizard. Oh,
Hermione
is the wizard.
Yes,
what I don't know is how that performance didn't, like, kill his career. Daniel Radcliffe. I'm a wizard.
He's like five
like 6
or
years
something.
Old.
Yeah, please.
Look, we've got a full house tonight.
We do.
Should we sing the full house thing?
This doesn't. No? Okay, you go for it. You lead.
Sorry, I know the words. Oh, that's
outed.
It's been a long time since we've all been in the studio.
It has been a while.
Yes.
Yeah. So we're
in our travels. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Well, you've been away. Alan.
I have been to Perth.
And Conrad, you're away all the time.
Yeah, Mildura, all the hotspots.
I'm always here.
Literally.
Yeah,
that is such a hotspot.
It really is.
Mm. Okay, Harry Potter.
So, of course, how could we not run a witches and wizards show when Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them, J.K. Rowling's latest addition to the wizarding world, has...
Or Where to Avoid Them. Sorry.
No, Gina,
yeah.
No.
Okay.
Straight in.
The claws are out tonight.
Sucker punch.
But we'll get to that.
We are going to be reviewing...
Oh, we'll get to that. That's like a threat. I love it. Show's off to a great start.
We'll be some Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them.
Yeah. We're going to be reviewing the film, and we're going to use it as a segue to look at some of our favourite witches and wizards on screen. We're going to queer them. We're going to look at how camp they are, but also, funnily enough, how they really work to perpetuate some really misogynistic myths within our culture.
I was just mentioning to Alan before we came on air about how I wonder if there are people within communities that identify with witches and wizardry and that kind of, I guess, movement, who would look at witches and wizards presented on screen and be really offended by that, like how some queer people are when we see terrible stereotypes or representation of us. I know I took that to a really deep place, but I'm sure there is people who think like that. I'd be really fascinated to hear from people who might feel like that.
I remember when J.K. Rowling was still releasing Harry Potter books, a lot of people were very offended at the representation of witches and wizards.
Did they see that as anti-Christian, though? Anti-religious?
Yes.
That was more along the established religions, yeah? Was that right?
Yeah, sure.
So I'm more thinking about the people within it. And how they would feel about something like Harry Potter. Like, oh, you'd never do that with your wand or whatever. You know, like, who would do, you know, no one wears a hat like that.
If what kind of Patronus is that? Like, really?
If there are any witches or wizards listening tonight, let us know.
Any please. From the Wiccan community? I think that's, is that what, how it's described? If you're a Wicca and you follow you're a part of the Wiccan community.
Any Wiccans listening, message in and let us know.
Absolutely.
We'd be fascinated.
Inform us. Educate us.
The number is 0427JOY949, or you can email us at onair@joy.org.au. But also email us, message us, let us know who your favourite witch or wizard in cinema's, I don't know, repository of witches and wizards is. It's a good word.
Yeah, okay.
It's repository. It rhymes with suppository. But I probably would have gone for almanac or compendium. But,
oh, would you?
Yeah.
What about canon?
Oh, canon. Yeah, that too. Yeah. Mm. Are we actually going to review this film?
I think we should. Oh, we are. I think we should.
Right. I think, Jeannie, you've got the little...
Tell us, for people who've been living under a rock and who haven't seen the umpteen trailers that are showing around the clock, what is Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them?
Oh, I don't know where to start. Look, for fans of this genre and fans of J.K. Rowling's films and books, you're going to love it. Mm-hmm. And for those who have all the books finished yet in this series?
Oh, Gina.
Have they?
No. For shame.
With the Harry Potter series, yes. Yeah, they're all finished.
Those audience members will love it. And as the box office results have shown, people are going to go and see this film in droves.
So we should say the film was made for something like $180 million.
And it has cleaned up. I thought I had the box office.
It was $90 million in the opening weekend. This past weekend has been the opening weekend. $90 million in the US alone. And I think, Conrad, you were saying $220 million.
Something like that. Worldwide?
Yeah. Worldwide, which is, you know, to outdo your costs in the first weekend is an achievement.
Mm. And really what the story does is take the world of Harry Potter and dumps it in New York.
That's right.
I wouldn't say dump. Oh. I would say gracefully supplant.
Really?
It disapparates into New York.
I like that.
And it brings along Newt Scamander, who is the author of a seminal text in Harry Potter, which comes out in the actual Harry Potter novels.
The text is Fantastic Beasts
and Where to Find Them. Yep. And it's an essential text in their first year, but they don't really use it until their third year for when they actually do study magical creatures. Yeah, I've done my homework.
Wow.
So anyway, so it's basically Newt goes to New York, and he brings along a case full of magical creatures.
A very magical case that he could have used in England. But anyway, back.
That's right.
Look, the production is actually beautiful.
It's lavish.
It's very queer.
And it's well done.
There are some very homoerotic scenes in alleyways that are, like, there are readings of this being basically a gay film. The reports coming out, especially from the States at the moment, that this is another way of showing the queer community in its suppressed rage and its anger and what could happen if you do suppress that sort of stuff a little bit too much.
Absolutely.
I could see that reading in this film.
Absolutely. And that comes out through in the plot device of where they describe an obscurius. An obscurius is a magical force from where a child actually has to repress their magical ability, and it becomes it sabotages it. It begins to eat them alive from inside, and it can express itself externally as a malevolent force.
But it's the idea of suppression.
Hiding one's true self, and that's what these characters are going through in New York.
And it's something that all queer audiences will be able to relate to.
Absolutely.
And see themselves in. And that's what's... And I really do think that J.K. Rowling was writing this film with that intent. I do feel like she's been a very vocal supporter of the LGBTIQ community. Yeah. Yeah. And I don't think it's a stretch to say that she was probably contemplating a lot of those issues as she was putting together this script.
And Newt wouldn't be the first English boy to head over to New York to find himself and to figure it out and to look for his demons everywhere, would he?
No,
in back alleys?
Yeah.
I must say, I did like that blue jacket.
Oh, look, the production was beautiful. Like, the costume,
everything was
beautiful.
It was Colleen Atwood who did the costumes. Why. She's remarkable.
It'll be on sale. There'll surely be a crossover merchandise thing. You'll be able to get it from Target or something, I'm sure.
But realistically, and I know there's a few of these films coming out, so I'm going to be subjected to this a few times because my partner is a huge fan of these films, and she loved the film.
Well, she's got good taste.
She does have good taste in some things. For me, a film fails if the main protagonist does not change. And even in all the Harry Potter films, Hermione, Ron, Harry, they all change at the end of each film.
But this is not I don't want to wait 100-meter sprint. This is like, this is a long race.
Some character journey.
Well, we might thrash that out right after this. You're listening to Outtakes here on Joy 94.9.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
You're listening to Outtakes with Daniel, Alan and Conrad and Gina. Hi, Conrad.
Full house.
Haven't seen you in ages.
Nice to be here.
We're talking witches and wizards.
We're queering the wizarding world.
And I'm upsetting Daniel by bagging it.
Bagging.
By going in.
Fantastic. I might not be allowed home either tonight.
Yes.
And you know, we've actually heard from one of our listeners, because we've asked, who was your favourite wizard or witch? And we've heard from Jamie from Burwood, and he says, I love Bette Midler from Hocus Pocus. And he also thinks that Daniel, our lovely host of the program, is a witch, you know, is one of his favourite witches, which he loves.
Sure that's not what Jamie wrote.
Or wizard. Wizard, I'm not sure. I love your little catchphrase, for shame.
I did tell Gina off for her rather hasty admonition of Fantastic Beasts.
He didn't wave his wand, but he was close.
But if he did wave his wand, would he have been surprised every time?
Sorry. Look, we are asking our listeners to message in and tell us what your favourite witch or wizard from cinema is. Mm-hmm. Message in on 0427JOY949 or email in at onair@joy.org.au. Mm-hmm. And right before those messages, that was the opening track from Fantastic Beasts, composed by James Newton Howard, who I love. He did the score for, well, it's done many scores, but one of my favourites is the Peter Pan score, the PJ Hogan film. It's just it's incredible. But I thought this was a really good effort.
It was very atmospheric. Oh,
it was
very
beautiful.
Cinematic.
No, that's the thing. The rest, just some of the overacting, some of the story arc, I just didn't sit well with me. Mm-hmm. But yes, visually it looked amazing. Mm-hmm.
Beautiful.
And my choc top was fabulous.
Gina, can I say that I agree with you with certain elements of that. For me, for the first 15 minutes, I think we see a magic platypus running around trying to stuff jewellery into its pouch. And, you know, after a while, like, I'm going, you know, this is a bit slow and a bit tedious. And we do get a little bit of this tediousness that crops up in
but
the film.
The interesting thing about a film like this, like a lot of the really big blockbuster films that we're seeing lately, is that they need to pitch themselves at the largest possible audience. Mm-hmm. And I think a moment like that in the film is intended for the 8-year-old sitting next to you.
Yeah.
And some of the deeper moments about obscurios and things that we're talking about tonight in the film are probably intended for people, you know, our age.
Yeah.
So I think that's something that the film does. It kind of treads between all of these different target audiences and age groups, and I think it does it quite well.
Well, one thing we did touch on, and this is probably why I wouldn't take an 8-year-old, was the destruction of New York City throughout the film, from the beginning, where, you know, something is happening, something evil, something ominous is happening to the city. It was quite violent.
So a little bit of darkness in there. Like most kids can handle a little bit, but I think an ongoing threat, especially in a city like that, I don't know. It did read a little bit too intense at times.
Mm. I mean, I think that's one of the really interesting things about J.K. Rowling's writing and her sensibility and aesthetic, because there has been a real clear shift towards darker material.
Mm.
And I think you see that. You see that in the progression of the original Harry Potter films, but you certainly see that in this film. But at the same time, as there is that darkness, there's also some really light, whimsical touches as well.
Mm. Absolutely.
There was a lot of feedback that I read after the film about the transporting it to New York, and a lot of people like that was the part that I didn't like.
Oh, I loved it.
It didn't bother me as much as what other people did, but I think they're very much like, Harry Potter must exist in this one world, and this is where I need it to be.
No, the books don't.
Oh,
no,
they're
set in that very quirky, eccentric British world.
Yeah.
So I guess transporting it or translating or disapparating it to New York, I can see where they're coming from that. I see where they're coming from.
So
that's one of the things that,
that
I really enjoyed about Harry Potter films and J.K. Rowling is that quirky eccentricity of the Brits.
And the destruction of New York again in a film. Man, I'm really hoping that 2017 brings the destruction of another city. That's all I'm saying.
You
because
needed to watch. We touched much. Base with Independence Day the other week, and that Armageddon. That's the one.
Let's just destroy everything. Yes.
They destroyed Paris and Shanghai.
At least
in that
that's
one.
Equal opportunity, equal, right? Absolutely. You know what I mean? But like Suicide Squad, Ghostbusters, Avengers. But it's like give me a city.
This,
a
but this is this is Hollywood, so it's it is the American cinema that we're watching. Oh,
everyone
this is
in Los Angeles, their hate for the East Coast comes out again. Well, you know, what should we blow up? Ah, New York.
Well, you know what? Americans love self-destruction, as evidenced by the recent presidential election. That is not an example of a self-destructive, you know, personality. I don't know what is. And that's so, and it comes out again in their films.
Yeah, Trumpzilla.
Trumpzilla.
All over New York.
One of the reasons, though, why we had to do a show on Fantastic Beasts and Witches and Wizards is because the wonderful thing about the world that Rowling gives us is that it is so amenable to queer interpretation, which is what we're all about here on Our Takes.
Thanks for bringing us back.
That's right. Yeah. And, of course, the film takes you back to New York back in the 1930s, so it's kind of like a Depression era.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
The whole wizarding world is essentially living in secret. It's it's inhibited, and it's a bit very much like the Prohibition era. So you've got a scene there where the characters go into a speakeasy, essentially, but it's a speakeasy for wizards and witches.
Yeah.
So you've got that whole
element
about of
living. I mean, the film, as the books, are really about living a secret identity.
Living in the closet.
Finding your own
it's
community.
About being in the closet.
And the plot, the progression of the plot is so much about coming out of the closet.
It is.
That's what the film is about.
And also that kind of religious kind of, you know, handing out the flyers and feeding people and trying to convert people to their way of thinking. Mm. Like that I probably connected with more in that story because it's something we can identify that's happening here today in our own community that
absolutely.
I found extremely powerful. And I actually wanted to know more about that.
I thought that was a really,
story.
Yeah, really interesting subplot. As with John Voight's character, that was an interesting subplot too wasn't explored in as much depth as it could have been.
But that was one of the better performances in the film by Samantha Morton, who you might know. She played the precog in Minority Report. So she was the precog. So I'm not sure if you remember that.
She's a brilliant actress.
She was the one
anyway,
in the pool. Brilliant.
Now, speaking of queering this franchise, something that's got everyone talking, I think, is this idea that Albus Dumbledore is gay.
Oh, there are articles about it. I mean, JK has come out and said it. But I did research this because the Los Angeles Times has listed the 7 reasons that you can see that Dumbledore is gay. The first one's one of my favourite. His pet. He's got a flaming phoenix. Right, come on.
Because that's every gay man is flaming.
Every gay should have a flaming phoenix. Uh-huh. His name, apparently if you break it up as an anagram.
Oh,
oh my gosh, I read this before. Male body's rule, bud. Apparently that's what
I think that was a long bow that someone has drawn.
I think
there.
It's a long bow. Look, I recommend looking this up, but, you know, everything from his sensitivity, his dress, his openness, his historical parallel, but the last point is my favourite. The fact that so few of us realised he was gay.
Oh, wow. Gotcha.
Very good.
Well, apparently Rowling knew that he was gay all along. Mm. Yeah, this is a clip of Rowling talking to Daniel Radcliffe, and Daniel Radcliffe asked her in this interview, you know, why is Dumbledore gay? This is what she had to say.
Dumbledore being gay?
Yeah.
Well, was that something that was just thrown out for the American press to get them stirred up a bit? No.
Though it did.
No, it did, which is obviously very funny. But,
But I found people's reaction to that really interesting, and I'll tell you why. By the time that I said that, I had been working on these characters for 17 years. Now, not many writers have ever been with the same set of characters for that long, so I feel I can sort of speak for all of us who have to say it becomes a very intense experience and inevitably you are going to know things about characters. And as time went on and I got to know Dumbledore, but this is before the publication of Philosopher's Stone, so bear in mind, at this point, I've been with him for 7 years. I knew he was gay. I just knew he was gay.
Okay.
And to me, it was not a big deal. This is a very old man who has a very terrible job to do. And his gayness is not really, he's not really relevant. Very relevant to him as a character, because I always saw him as a very lonely character. And I think that there is, in fact, a hint of it in 7, because the relationship he has with Grindelwald, he fell very hard for this boy. He's awfully trusting of this good-looking young man when he shows up. Don't you think it was perfect that Dumbledore, who is always the great champion of love, Harry, love will save us, love, his one great experience of love was utterly tragic.
Listen, that's the first time I've heard that clip.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I was shocked at one stage there, where she equates being gay with being lonely.
She had me till then.
You know, at that point, yeah. Like, I'm going, oh, okay.
I love
because
her.
He's lonely, therefore he's gay. Like, I'm sorry, that... I find that
it's a bit of a tired trope. Mm,
it is,
but one of the more interesting things for me that she was saying in that clip was this idea that Dumbledore has always been about love and the importance of love. And so I think it's really interesting to think about some of the ideas, particularly in the 7 Harry Potter books. Mm-hmm. This idea that love conquers hate, mm-hmm. and that friendship is really important.
That's right.
So on these ideas cast. From a gay man, mm-hmm. Being said by a wise old gay man, I think it's a really interesting kind of way of looking at the books.
Okay, well, I'll take that as a comment. I really will.
Generous.
But I would say that's a very common theme in fantasy novels. It's that play of good versus bad, light versus dark. This is a common theme, yeah.
I think one of the things that makes J.K. Rowling so successful is that she has a way of packing these ideas in really kind of interesting, accessible ways that a lot of other fantasy writers don't.
Again, that's another comment. You don't read a lot of fantasy, do you? Do you, Daniel? Do you?
No comment.
No? Okay. Well, I'd say that, that's one of my favourite genres since I was a kid.
More or less than the bonnet and bustle.
So, yeah, I think, there are a lot of fantasy writers that do write about gay characters and gay themes.
Why don't we see them on our screens?
They actually do it very, very well. And, in fact, there's been a real proliferation of gay characters in fantasy novels. It's actually really stepped up. You know, it's almost every second book now I read there is actually a gay character
in a cinema landscape that is predominated by fantasy blockbusters these days, why is it that Harry Potter seemed, or this franchise, Fantastic Beasts, seems poised to be the first real blockbuster fantasy franchise to deal with a gay character?
I really don't know, but thinking off the top of my head, we've got a lot of these children, a lot of these people who actually read Harry Potter as children are now adults. And a lot of those people would have gone through the journey of coming out themselves. And maybe we're sort of catering towards that audience, because I think there is a very strong gay popular or queer, there's a high percentage of queer aficionados of sci-fi and fantasy novels. So I think the writers have actually cottoned on that they've got a lot of fans out there that happen to be gay.
Wow. Mm. Okay, we are talking queer witches and wizards. You're listening to Outtakes on Joy 94.9.
You can find more Joycasts and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
We're on Outtakes here on Joy 94.9, and we're talking about wizards and witches.
Queering the wizarding world.
We are queering it up.
Yeah. But we're shifting gears. We've been talking about Fantastic Beasts and where to find them and how fantastic a movie it is.
It is. No, seriously, if you like the series, you'll love it. You'll love the film. There was a lot of laughter in
Conrad, it's going to divide audiences.
Mm. Might.
Conrad, what's your final take on
ooh,
this?
Well,
thumbs up, thumbs down.
I went and saw Arrival on Friday night, so I'm still, that movie is really stuck with me. Mm-hmm. And so when I saw Fantastic Beasts the next day, I don't know, I was still in this really weird headspace from that other movie. And I usually let go of that when I go onto another film, because when you go to a film festival, you just watch six movies in a row or whatever. Yeah. That movie like resonated with me so much that I think I couldn't reset properly. Mm. So some parts of it I loved. I thought the visual effects were amazing. Mm. I liked the interaction between some of the cast and some elements of it. I mean, the New York thing, I think... One of the kids next to me was like, what is wrong with that man? Because I was like, ah, like throwing my head back, like, leave New York alone. A couple of the mums and dads were like,
how many stars out of five?
I'm giving it 3.5 out of 5.
Oh, that's really good.
For me, 3.5.
I give it 3.5 too, so we're on the same page. Mm-hmm. Gina?
Two. Yeah. No, sorry.
No.
Yeah, okay. No.
One. I'll just turn your mic off now.
I probably would say two.
I'm really struggling.
Really?
Yeah, not because I didn't like it for any particular reason that it was horrible or anything like that. It just wasn't enough for me.
I just hope that it's just preparing the ground for the next four films. The next four films are all going to be 5 out of 5ers.
It's a lavish production.
Yes.
And people who love Harry Potter, you will love this.
Yeah, it is a popcorn film.
Absolutely it is.
Hugely.
As with so much coming out of America right now. Anyway, moving along, we're going to shift gears.
We have to shift a few decades, don't we?
Right to the 90s.
I know.
It's amazing how many films came out in the 90s dealing in witches, in witchcraft. It's
witchery.
I don't know what it was, what was in the air in the 90s. But it's amazing that when you put these films side by side, they're all about the quest for love and man's affection.
And that's a really sad thing. There are so many, finally, films with really strong female characters all about finding that guy.
Well, because witches are known for being these powerful women with Alan and really
and
dynamic
Brio.
Character.
And Brio. Alan and Brio. Never mind. Moving on.
Might have to explain that one later.
But the powerful women who are taking power for themselves, sisters doing it for themselves,
but then
pushing against the patriarchy. That's what witches are.
But no, they're not.
Aren't
they? Well, yes. That's what they're supposed to be. But the witches in these kind of 90s era films, by and large, they're using their power to win over a man.
That's it. It's the old love potion
and
aspect.
And, of course, it does come back to haunt them because it's using their power for
which is actually
bad,
an interesting...
Good.
Yeah. It's interesting that most of the witches in these films who do that actually suffer for it.
Of course.
That's right. Well, that's the idea of the threefold return. Whatever you put out, it comes back to you threefold. So if you're a good witch and you put good out, you're just going to perpetuate goodness. And if you're a bad witch and you put bad out, then you're just going to be one badass witch.
We were shocked that we didn't touch on Wizards of Oz when we walked in. We were like, oh, how did we? Okay, another time.
Different era. We're looking at the 90s.
We'll look at something else.
And one of the films that shocked me that it kind of fell into this paradigm was The Craft, which everyone has kind of praised and lauded as this kind of queer text. And for me, it was just, apart from being incredibly boring and trite, it fed into this whole misogynistic kind of...
Has it been praised and lauded anywhere, though? Like, it's fun.
The Craft?
It's fun.
Yeah. Praised and lauded.
Fun for who?
Like, it's a fun kind of
for us
teenage-y
movie. For us children of the 90s, we love The Craft.
I was a child in the 90s,
awesome.
Too.
But I don't remember it being nominated for anything. Like, it's not something that people hold up
as a
film of... It's fun. Hello, Fantastic Beasts.
Yes.
It's Mean Girls
and what
with
is it?
Witches. Look, that's all it is. It's teenage Mean Girls with Witches.
Amazing. Best description ever.
We've got four. There is a strong cast. There's Robin Tunney, who plays Sarah, who played seasons of The Mentalist. So everyone would know
Well, that's
her.
A career high.
That is a career high.
She made a lot of money, I'm sure.
There's Faye Roosevelt, who plays the most amazing, crazy...
Another household name.
Crazy, hysterical person on screen.
She was in the sequel to The Wizard of Oz as well. You know, that really dark, scary sequel that they brought out. Do you remember that?
I like
that one from the 80s. She played the little girl in it.
The Wiz. I love The Wiz.
No, The Wiz is great. No, there's this obscure kind of film that she was the little girl and she's got like witch in her blood.
Yeah. And Neve Campbell, of course.
Amazing.
Yeah, so unfortunately the fourth witch, Rachel True, don't really know her. She plays Rochelle. But
there's a shock.
But here you go. You've got these three wannabe witches, and then in rocks Sarah as the fourth witch, and she completes their circle.
Yes.
And then that's when the true witchery really begins.
Well, for people who aren't familiar with The Craft, this is The Craft.
To the other kids at St. Bernard Academy, they were the girls who didn't belong.
Whatever you do, stay away from them.
Why?
They're witches.
But after years of being on the outside...
Why'd you lie about me?
I don't want to go out with you again. Please, stop begging. It's pathetic.
Four girls are about to discover the dark side.
You ever heard of invoking the spirit?
Black magic.
We can make things happen. I mean, this is it. This is real.
This spring, Columbia Pictures welcomes you to the Witching Hour.
That voiceover, though, it just gave it such gravitas. I love that they went to the St. Bernard Academy. Like, what a name for a school. As Daniel said, praised and lauded, one of the best films.
No, that is definitely not what I said.
Oh, sorry, I mixed up what you were saying. Yes, The Craft. Look, a fun film about witchcraft that actually didn't really do it any favours, I guess, but I know a lot of teenagers who really just thought it was,
and that's what most the of champ. These witching films from the 90s were all about. They were about having fun. Yeah. One that came just a few years earlier, of course, was The Witches of Eastwick.
Mm. Love that. Yeah. Do you? Sorry. Yeah.
Really?
Absolutely.
Oh, there's a lot to love in that. Killer cast. Cher, Michelle Pfeiffer, Susan Sarandon. Jack Nicholson.
Jack Nicholson playing the cheeky devil. Absolutely.
Yes. Actually, a horny little devil.
That's right.
The cherry.
I saw that movie with my parents.
Oh, no.
I know. Wrong. Ugh.
For me, the 90s film that has it all is Practical Magic.
Praised and lauded.
That is a film that ought to be praised and lauded. That cast, I'm sorry, that was Sandra Bullock and Nicole Kidman at their best, and Stockard Channing and Diane Wiest.
I'll put my hand up for Diane Wiest.
What film do you think of this?
Look, that was definitely the best performance that Nicole Kidman ever gave in any film.
Oh, Alan.
So I agree. I agree with you on that.
Full House and We're Torturing Daniel. I'm so sorry.
I love this. It's such a cute film.
It is cute.
Until you mentioned it out there before, I had not even thought about it. I was like, Practical what? Sandra Bullock did what?
But
that was in her years when she was kind of recovering from Speed 2.
But you know what? It's rather tragic. It's rather tragic.
It really is.
The witches, the women in this family, they're doomed. They're cursed. When a man ever falls in love with them, their man dies. You know, so that's tragic.
Oh, yeah. But again, and the film works to subvert that. Uh-huh. It does subvert that as the film goes on. But again, it is about witches using their witching powers to lure a man.
Yeah.
And they fall in love with the same man, right? Isn't that the whole point?
Well, I don't know that Sandra Bullock ever... Nicole Kidman just has a bad track record with her in this film.
Yeah.
Femme fatale.
For people who don't know
literally a femme fatale. She kills the man that she feels
this cool. is Practical Magic.
The Owen sisters are two beautiful witches.
Hang on to your husbands, girls.
With one wicked problem.
She has the worst taste in men.
Any man they fall for falls victim to a deadly curse.
Any man who wins the heart of an Owens woman is bound to end up 6 feet under.
And as hard as they try...
Oh, my God!
They can't keep their loves...
I feel like I'm never going to see you again.
Look out!
Alive.
It was an accident.
It was fate.
It was a curse, wasn't it?
Now, a detective...
Is he cute? In a very penal code sort of way, yeah.
...is looking for answers.
Did you or your sister kill James Angelo?
Oh, yeah.
But the only kind of magic...
You just look familiar.
We never met before. I would remember it if we had.
...that can break the evil spell...
What would you do, Joey? What wouldn't I do for the right guy?
...is the magic of two people...
Magic isn't just spells and potions.
...who discover the power...
What I'm saying is, don't witch!
You know, all relationships have problems.
...of true love.
Sisters doing it for themselves. Look, Practical Magic, romantic comedy, killed it in the box office, and I should have left it back in, what was it, the 90s when I saw it? Because I really did enjoy it back in the 90s.
Me too.
To watch it now with today's standards, yeah, it's a bit hard, so watch it for free if you do.
Hasn't dated well, right.
To watch it.
I think it's as strong today as it ever was, and so is its soundtrack. It's got a great soundtrack.
Great soundtrack.
It just takes you right back, doesn't it? Yeah. You're listening to Outtakes on Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Outtakes here on Joy 94.9 with Daniel, Alan, Gina and myself, Conrad. Nice to be back. Thanks for having me. Yeah, and shout out to Chappelle, who messaged in to say, nice to hear me.
Welcome back. It's nice to hear you.
Feeling the love.
Thanks, now, Chappelle. We are, of course, queering witches and wizards this evening, and we've looked at some incredible films so far, chief amongst them Practical Magic.
Which won a Blockbuster Video Award.
That's no, more really than did. The Craft ever won. Uh-huh.
Is that for favourite rainy Sunday popcorn film?
Look, for the fabulous Stockard Channing.
Who is
no doubt.
Yeah.
No doubt.
I love her.
Now, the reason that we were looking at these films, The Witches of Eastwick, Practical Magic, The Craft, what they all share in common, apart from being about really powerful women, is the fact that these women use their powers to gain men. Mm-hmm. And generally, in stories about witches, when those witches don't, they're somehow evil. So think, of course, mm-hmm. of Maleficent from Sleeping Beauty. Yeah. She's the prime example. Another great example is Meryl Streep's witch in Stephen Sondheim's Into the Woods.
That's right.
But I think the campest, gayest example is, of course, the Sanderson sisters from the now cult classic Hocus Pocus.
I don't understand why it was a cult classic. I really don't.
But
I must have missed it.
Is it just the casting?
And I just watched it for the very first time over the weekend. And for me, my favourite bit is when Bette Midler gets up on stage and sings. But that's about it, really. Really, for me.
Oh, okay. I didn't mind it. I mean, I always thought it was fun. It's that kind of movie that has... it's the costuming and the songs and everything. It's very camp, and I think that resonated straight away. I mean, people dress up as characters from Hocus Pocus mm-hmm. for Halloween now. Bette Midler just remixed herself yeah. and did it again. It's got elements of it that are very Bette Midler-esque.
Well, you know, I think this is the best dressed that Sarah Jessica Parker has ever been.
It's a fair call. She was sultry in this film.
And beautiful. For the first and only time ever in any
film. Oh, wow. Alan.
I'm sorry. Alan. SJP. SJP, you know, she's not very attractive.
Girls just want to have fun. Go back and watch it.
That's it. Your microphone is off now.
Eight seasons of Carrie as well. Yeah. Sex and the City. Like, who are you?
No, it was all about Samantha.
What's so interesting about this film, though, is the way it's lent itself to the gay consciousness, really. Mm. And I think the best example that I could find of that is this reimagining by Todrick Hall, who is this YouTube sensation who's now got a show on MTV, and it's called Hocus Pocus. So this is a trailer for his imaginary film, Hocus Pocus, which is his take on Hocus Pocus.
We fly.
After 22 years on their underworld tour, the Sanderson sisters are black.
What did he say?
I mean, they're back.
That's more like it.
Meet Kelly, Michelle, and Seance.
Seance?
Yes, Michelle.
Is it a boy?
Yes.
Can I play with
him? I bet you're nasty.
Sorry.
You! There! Uh-oh, they done turned my power off. You didn't pay the power bill, did you?
I forgot.
Halloween has never been so ratchet.
Look at the flick of the wrist. Hey. Look at the flick of the wrist.
Ah, boy. Is that Zachary Binks? And they said, black don't crack.
So did this time.
I smell cheering.
Nominated for 2 Academy Awards for Best Weave in a Feature Film and Best Trap Musical.
I done put a spell on you.
I put a spell on you.
And now you're gone.
I'm Felicia.
I put a spell on you. I put a spell on your ass. And now you're mine. I got this eye from Fetty Wap.
Todrick Hall presents Hocus Pocus.
Hey, girls, it's me, Master.
The
the devil is alive.
Not today, Satan. Rebuke it. Rebuke it.
They are not fools here.
Does he know who we are?
Coming to a dollar theater near you.
A dollar theater?
So there's obviously a video that just hashes up all the scenes on that, isn't
Yeah, and makes more sense when you're looking at the clips that go with it. But we'll pop that on the Outtakes Facebook page.
Awesome. Yes, so, there is an app. You are on social media with
there's a lot of great articles. Always appreciative of the program. It's Facebook.com/ Joyful Outtakes.
Joyful Outtakes.
Someone took Outtakes. So.
Rude.
Yeah, I know. Inconsiderate, frankly. We are, of course, talking.
We'll put a spell on them, Daniel.
Fix them.
We're talking queer witches and wizards. You're listening to Outtakes on Joy 94.9.
You can find more Joycasts and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
You're on Outtakes here on Joy, and we've been queering up wizards and wizards on tonight's show. And we just recently, we're just before the break, we were talking about, what was it, practical magic? No? What was it? What were we talking
Togical.
About?
Hocus pocus.
Oh, where have you been? I'm sorry, I just had a mental blank, a brain freeze. I'm sorry.
It's been so overwhelming.
Hocus pocus, yeah, Bette Midler and SJP. Yes, I did bag out SJP.
Yes, you did.
Actually.
Yes, you did.
And I've been reminded that I'm not a nice person. But I thought that
but
I would say...
But you look great in your shirt.
Actually, under that pink shirt, there's a black heart.
But you know, this genre really makes you think about light and dark, and I just decided to express
you'd be
a little bit of dark and
yeah, you did
dark
it very well.
Well, someone who does dark very well is Meryl Streep in one of your favourite films, Death Becomes.
Death Becomes a Goldie Hawn, Meryl Streep, and my absolute favourite. I'm not going to say Bruce Willis. Isabella Rossellini.
Definitely not.
First scene we see. Oh,
for
I had
me,
to show images,
it's all that
half naked.
Into the Woods.
Because
this
naked.
Is Into the Woods is a very average film.
It is,
but this is Meryl Streep seeing in Into the Woods and doing. Can I say a magnificent job? This is Stay With Me, Meryl Streep from Into the Woods.
Don't you know what's out there in the world? Someone has to shield you from the world. Stay with me. Princes wait there in the world, it's true. Princes, yes, but wolves and humans too. Stay at home. I am home. Who out there could love you more than I? What out there that I cannot supply? Stay with me.
You're on our text here on Joy, and that was Meryl Streep in Into the Woods, which we would say that was an
It always
okay
strikes me
movie.
As like two films in one. The first act is so different to the second act. But
And, you know, it's
we
one
love,
of that,
we love us some Meryl on this show.
I just begged Daniel to do a Meryl Streep show.
Which we
just,
will. We'll wait for her birthday. Yeah. But look, we've run out of time. That's it for another night on Outtakes. And I think it's been a really fun show looking at these witches and wizards in film. Mm-hmm. That's it for another week on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.